Jesus didn't like to see people with skin scabs, right? Is that what you say? Skin scabs? Jesus wants you to have beautiful skin. And me too. Now about my skin. Well, maybe you have a bad eating habit. It's time to change it. But I want to prove to you today that God is interested in your skin and God wants you to have a beautiful skin. Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 10, verse 11. Let's read it. Thou hast clothed me
with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me with bonds.
The Lord is the one who has clothed you with skin and flesh. How many of you have heard already on the scripture that says, don't fool yourself. Every good thing comes from above. Y'all have heard that scripture?
Yes.
So if everything that comes from above is good, that means that God has clothed you with good skin and good flesh. God will take care of every skin problem. God will take care of every flesh. Look at this young lady here. Look how pretty she looks, huh? She's not old, she's mature. And look how good she looks. You look at that young man over there, 92 years old, still driving. Stand up, Brother Joe. The birthday boy. 92 years old. Look how good he looks. My Lord.
Yes.
92. Still driving, still walking, still talking, still serving God in his church. God bless you, brother. And it's not looking all falling apart, all haggard. You see how God takes care of his folks? In good shape. God has promised to clothe you and I with good skin and good flesh. You don't have to buy chaos. Unfortunately, some of the sisters spend thousands of dollars a year on chaos. I don't understand. There is a product out there called Avon. A-V-O-N. In Hebrew, the word Avon means chaos. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And earth was without form and void. Earth was Avon. And people have spent thousands of dollars on chaos. If you would just think about it, all the chemical on that junk penetrates your skin. It will destroy your skin for goodness sake. But the television lied to them saying that if you want to look neat and beautiful, they get some Bimbo in Hollywood and fill them with that junk. Look at the stars. Oh no, they call now celebrity. The celebrity themselves don't use that junk. Only when they are in stage. I tell you, I used to tell my wife, every time that a woman fill her face with that junk, they look like a dead person. You know when they go to the morgue? Did you know that when people die and they go to the morgue, that's what the mortician does? We'll fill them up with Avon and put new teeth and eyebrows and the whole nine yards. What for? To be buried! Well, it doesn't look good. Doesn't look good, my mom said. Woman, put something on your face. Well, some people like to look at that thing, you know. I like it natural. You see the real deal. That can get people in so much trouble. God has promised to clothe you with skin and flesh. Period. May I have the New Living Translation? I didn't check that. You clothed me with skin and flesh, and you knit my bones and sinews together. What about the Backslider Translation? Everybody's saying the same thing. What a miracle of skin and bone, muscle and brain. Love that one, huh? Love it. What a miracle of skin. Tell your neighbor, you have a miraculous skin. And bone. Huh? Muscles and brain. Are we together here? God is interested on that. When you go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22, you learn that God's word, not a vaughn, has something to do with your flesh. Let's read it. For they are life unto those who find them and so you mean to tell them just by reading the Bible, my skin will look good? Yes! This is what he says. They are, the word of God, life to people who find them. And the word of God is health to their flesh. Are we together here? I want you to read, turn to somebody and say, when I have good looks in skin, read the word of God. Isn't that what it says? For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. So you don't have to be spending hundreds of dollars every month with chaos. Just read the word. It's free. You can save that money to go on a vacation in the end of the year. Amen. So, well, preacher, I heard all that you say, but it's almost like you're beating around the bush. That's all right. Let's go to Job 33:25. If you don't believe that God is concerned about your skin, here's the proof. I want you to read it with me. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. God wants you to have a flesh, a skin that will be fresher than a child's skin. And I think that as you and I read the word, he says, he shall return to the days of his youth. Now, can I back this one with another scripture? Those who wait upon the Lord they shall renew their strength. Is that so? They shall fly. They shall mount like an eagle. And we all know that the eagle, when it comes to 50, it starts picking out all the feathers. It will hit its beak against the rock until the beak falls. Then other eagles come and start pulling the other feathers on the back where it cannot get. So it is deprived of any type of feather or beak. And then the process starts. Until all the feathers come back again and the beak grows back. And it is good to go another 50 years. So, if those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength as the eagles, and his flesh shall be fresh than a child, because he shall return to the days of his youth, just like the eagle. What do? Wait upon the Lord. I mean, you read the word, you wait upon the Lord, and let God take care of your skin. One time, Jesus was ministering, and there were some fellas that had some scabs. They were sentenced to death because they could no longer come in and join the community. So they were set outside the camp. One of them says, came to the Lord, said, Lord, if you want, you can make me whole. You can touch my skin. Listen what Jesus answered him, Matthew 8:2. And behold, there came a leper. Is that correct? And worshipped him, saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That's the right approach. Yes. He came, he worshipped the master, and because he didn't know much, he said, if thou wilt, Lord, you can make me clean. Yes. Listen to the next scripture. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, what did he say? Do you believe now that Jesus is interested in your skin?
Yes.
On your flesh?
Yes.
So, what is the bottom line of this preacher? God has clothed you with good skin, with good flesh. If you would dive into God's word, they are health to your flesh. If you wait upon the Lord, your skin shall be renewed as on your youth. If you worship the master and tell him that this skin problem is bothering you, he says that he is willing to heal your skin. Are we together so far? I think that this man got healed instantly because the search that he was doing for the skin had something to do with the desire to worship the one who could heal him. Observe that he didn't say, Lord, if you heal me, I'll give my testimony. Did you hear that? Verse 2 doesn't say that he came to the Lord and says, Lord, if you heal my skin, I promise I'm going to go all over Israel, give him my testimony of what you did. That's not what he did. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. He started worshipping God before he got healed. Isn't that something? Some of us wants to get healed first so we can worship the Lord for our healing. This fellow went the opposite way. He went already worshipping the Lord. You know, he went already worshiping the Lord.
Yes.
And then I said, well, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Whether I'm clean or not, I'm going to worship you.
Yeah.
I don't have to be healed first.
Yeah.
And then I'll worship you. I'm going to start worshiping you right away.
Yeah.
And Jesus couldn't resist. Because he stretched forth his hand. Touched that man and said, I will. And immediately, he was healed from the leper.
Yeah, amen.
There is no skin disease that any one of us may have that God can't heal. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, is that God's will to heal our skin diseases? Absolutely. So how do I go about this? Well, start speaking the word of God. You have clothed me with good skin. And this ain't good, so I thank you for the good skin that I'll have. Because I'm waiting upon you, and you said, I'm going to renew my skin. I'm diving into your word, and your word is health to my flesh. So I'm worshiping you right now for the healing of my skin. Don't deal. And then watch Jesus stretch forth his hand and touch your body. I want you to repeat a prayer with me. Shall we?
Yes.
Lord Jesus, thank you very much. Because I believe you are health to my flesh. I believe my skin is healed and healthy in your name. Right now, I command all blemishes to leave my skin, to leave my body, in the name of Jesus. And I command the blood flow to start moving in all the cells in my body. I command all diseases and skin diseases to leave my body right now in the name of Jesus. I worship you, Lord, for the new skin that is being formed in my body. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I receive Jesus, my healer, into my skin and flesh.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's already 12. I don't know if you want to hear about the eyes yet, or shall we leave for next week? Huh? Would you guys still go, or it's 12 o'clock already? It's up to you. Hey, so we spoke. Proceed. I'm going to start today, and I'm going to give you one scripture to muzzle throughout the week. All right? I'm going to give you one scripture to muzzle throughout the week. Isaiah 32, verse 3, tells us that God is interested in your eyes. God is interested in your eyes. Read it with me. And the eyes of them that see and the ears of them that hear. The eyes of them that see shall not be dim. I want you to reach out to somebody and say, thank God for your good eyes. I shall develop a little bit more next week on this. But before you go home today, remember, God is interested in your vision. God is interested in your eyes.
Yes.
Did you know that, some of you already know this, but did you know that in 1998, 99, a Johns Hopkins physician said I would be blind within 90 days if I didn't do some kind of surgery? I'll tell you this, when it comes to surgery, I'm a chicken. I'd rather take my chances at Jesus. Yes, sis.
Yep. Did you finish your story about the lady who called you and wanted you to come to her house to pray?
Yes.
Okay. Also, I have another thing. How about King Hezekiah, and the Lord sent the prophet to him that he was going to die? And King Hezekiah wept, and the Lord sent the prophet back and said it added 15 years to his life. Did God change his mind there?
No.
Going back to Numbers.
God did not change his mind. God actually wanted to spare him from some embarrassment. But God couldn't have changed his mind because he knows things in advance. Nevertheless, those things were written for us to understand. If I would have a prophet, God would have sent me a prophet, say, Paul, get your house ready because you're going to be dead by next week. Yes! Get every stuff together and I'm out of here. Now, poor King Hezekiah, you can see that he was out of line when he tells God, well, is that the reward that I have to follow you? All my house, my father's house, everybody turned their back on you, and I am serving you faithfully. I got rid of the Baal altar, and and this is what I'm getting? No, dude, God wants to spare you from some embarrassment. So God already knew that he would do this because there isn't any surprise to God. God knows the future. Some people really go berserk when they tell them that God created the world today. What? Yeah, Genesis 1:1 happens today. The return of Christ returns today. It happened today in the eyes of God. The New Jerusalem is already down here today. What? Our finite mind can't comprehend this stuff. This is why God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. I don't understand. There isn't a sun going around heaven 24 hours. So God suffers no influence of time. And this is why Peter says, a day is like 1,000 years in your sight, and 1,000 years is like a day. We're together so far, right? Yes. So God already knew. When people try to question the Bible, oh, this is not for today, that's for the past. So you're saying that God is dumb. He didn't know what would happen on the future, so he allows a book to be written that was good for the past, that is not good for today. God already knew all the stuff. So what is on the book in the Bible is as good for 4,000 years ago as it is for today. Because God knew the future. So in this case, God knew what Hezekiah would do. So why did he send Isaiah? Because this serves as a lesson for us. What is the big problem with this request? If Hezekiah had died, he would have not gone through the embarrassment of showing everything that was precious, gold and precious stone in his house, in the house of God, and everything else. So God said, all right, I'll give you 50 more years. Sorry for you, but if you're begging, I'll give it to you. Well, a few weeks later, the king of Babylon sent some emissaries to visit Hezekiah and brought him a nice gift from Babylon. And he was bought by a gift from Babylon. He took the people in, prepared a big banquet, and then he showed them all his treasures in his house. Then took them to the temple, take some uncircumcised Babylonians inside the temple where you're not supposed to. And you show them all the gold. The man left. Next day, the prophet sent him an emissary. Who are those men that came by you? Oh, they're from a kingdom far away. They're from Iraq. No, dude, Iraq is just 3 days' journey away from here. What do they want? Oh, they just came in a peace voyage. You know, they just came. The king sent me a nice gift from Babylon. What? Did you show them anything? Oh, yes. What? What did you show them? Oh, I showed them everything. All my treasures, all the gold in my house, in the house of God. I showed them everything. God was trying to spare him from this stupidity. The prophet said, well, lo and behold, days will come that they will take everything that you show them. They will take it right before your eyes. They're going to take your children and make them slave. Then they're going to pluck your eyes and you're going to be eating under the table of the king of Babylon as a dog. Did God knew that? Absolutely. Did God knows that? Absolutely. But sometimes, you know, we ask things that we don't know what we're asking for. Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Amen.
That intercede for us with inexplicable groanings.
Yes.
I don't want to be around here not one moment past my due time. I might be tempted to do the same stupidity that Hezekiah did. Amen?
Amen.
God is interested in your eyes. Your eyes shall not be dim. Say with me, God.
God.
I agree with you.
My eyes shall not go dim.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
We continue next week. God bless you.